covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
That really stung. 3-2, the Brewers fall to the Royals in game one of a three-game set between two contending teams out of the K, Kauffman Stadium. Game was moved up by 30 minutes because of impending weather. Looks like some heavy storms are certainly on the way. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Jerry Augustine is with us as well. Augie, I want to get into the managerial decisions and the three questions that I have and some of the reactions to all of this too. But I think the biggest, first, most important point to make about this one, in the seventh inning, going to Jared Koenig, he was due to face three out of four left-handed hitters. Now, obviously, one was pinch hit for. But at the end of the day, we can sit here and argue about was it the right move, was it the wrong move, this, that, and the other. At the end of the day, when you allow a left-on-left home run, a hit-by-pitch to a pinch hitter, get ahead of a lefty 0-2, and then end up walking him, that is a recipe for disaster, and it comes down to a lack of execution. And furthermore, it's not just on Koenig. The Brewers got one good swing from Gary Sanchez, and that was their whole game plan offensively. They were 0-for-1 with runners in scoring position tonight. They just did not get the job done when it came to execution. Now, we can talk about Murph and everything else, but I think that's my biggest takeaway from today. The two biggest things that didn't execute. Jared Koenig did not execute tonight. He knows that. You know that as well. And the Brewers' offense, once again, was stagnant aside from the Gary Sanchez home run.
Yeah, we've seen that out of the Brewers the last three or four games where they haven't been able to score runs off of starting pitchers. And you got to give Reagan a hand because he really threw the ball very well. Left-hander kept the ball down, changed speeds, used his breaking ball. He had six ground balls. It was very effective. But Bryce Wilson was right there with him. You can't pitch much better than Bryce Wilson pitched today. You know, you get these games where you get two good pitching performances like you did out of Wilson and Reagan. You get those great performances. It's going to come out to either a big blast, in which we got from Gary Sanchez in the fourth. But it's going to be, does a team have the ability to bunch some base runners together? Can they put some at-bats together where they get on base via walk or errors, hits, whatever? And I'll tell you what, that's what happened with Kansas City in the seventh. They were able, first of all, get the big home run from Massey, but then induce the hit by pitch to walk. And I agree with you. Kenny just wasn't as sharp as he has been. He's been throwing the ball really good. Just got a ball up over the middle plate to Massey. He got it. But it's the hitting pitch, allowing guys to get on base. Anytime you give free passes late in the ball game, especially after that sixth inning, they're going to hurt you. And today it did hurt the Brewers.
So I got three bullet points here, three questions that are the main takeaways that I have from this game. Number one, I know Koenig didn't execute, but why choose Jared Koenig over Hobie Milner, given Hobie's barely pitched over the last week, and furthermore, he hasn't really pitched with the lead that much? I don't know why he's fallen out of favor, because he's really righted the ship over the last couple of weeks. I got the numbers to prove it. So that's question number one. Question number two, I know it was close on the replay and the call stood, so that means there was nothing indisputable to overturn the call at third for Jackson Churio stealing third. It looked really darn close. Maybe he got the sliding pad in there. But my question is, why are you trying that play at all? Why try at all? I understand Bryce is at the plate. Left on left is a tough situation. You're trying to avoid a double play ball. But a base hit's going to score Jackson with his speed. So I don't understand trying to send him there if that was a call from the dugout. And three, with Terang, why was he subbed in straight up for Joey Ortiz, knowing there was one lefty still left in that bullpen in Will Smith, meaning that if you had switched in Terang for, say, Monasterio in the order, you would move Ortiz from second to third, put Terang at second base. Terang would maybe have forced Will Smith to come in a little bit sooner, but then it's only righties down the stretch, and you have leverage for that with Oliver Dunn if you really wanted to hit for Joey Ortiz. So I thought those are just three questions. They're not, oh my gosh, he blew the game. Those are just three questions that I have of really looking forward to hearing from Murph later on the show about this.
Yeah, those are really interesting questions, because you look at what Hobie Milner has done. He's been so good for the Brewers. But I think one thing Murph was doing right there is Jared Koenig has pitched the ball so well He's done such an excellent job. You know, I'm going to get this guy in there for the starter. It's that closer for the starter. Come in and get me a good, give me a good inning. I can go back to the bullpen, and now I still have Holby Milner for later on in the ballgame if I do need him against a good Kansas City left-hand hitters. So I think that was Murph's thinking there. I thought it was a good move because Koenig has been throwing the ball so well. The Cheerios thing, stealing third base, that's, you're always playing with fire anytime you make an out at third base. A lot of people say don't make the first or third out at third base. I think any out at third base is always a tough one unless you're being aggressive on the bases. And I just think it's just it can be a very tough play. It was a close play. I didn't work in the Brewers' favor, and I think that happened. As far as the Terang thing, I think any way you move there, I think is an okay move. I think Murph was just trying to figure out, but you can put Terang in any kind of place he's going to be effective. So, those are three quality questions that you do have. But I thought the questions of Koenig going in the ballgame, I thought that was a legit. He's been throwing the ball so well for the Brewers, and here's a big chance to make him let him step up. But Cheerios, he's a young player. He's going to learn. He's going to do things the right way and the smart way. And right there, I thought he jumped the gun and probably should have stayed at second base.
Yeah, it's the second time this year the Brewers have been caught stealing third base this year. And it's just like if you're only going to go, if you know you're going to make it, especially with a left-hander up and a future Hall of Fame catcher, Salvador Perez, we can talk about the framing numbers all day with Salvi. He's still got a cannon, and that's part of the reason why he was behind the plate for so many years. I don't want to be a negative Nancy the whole show because Bryce Wilson was fantastic. We're going to talk about Bryce coming up next and get to some of these texts as well. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Brian, I'll get to you after the break. Stay with us. We're right here. Brewers extra innings going to the top of the hour with Jerry Augustine. I'm Dom Catronio. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio with former Brewers pitcher Jerry Augustine. Thanks for joining us here. This text from Doug Gary Sanchez came through again, but nobody else did. I feel bad for Bryce Wilson. Can't pitch much better than this one. It stings. I agree with that one entirely. This one from David in Superior. What an outing for Bryce Wilson. He's certainly blowing away expectations as a starter. Quite an unfortunate seventh inning there. It seems a handful of games the crew have come down to a single inning of questionable defense so far. I did not even mention Willie's misplay there deep in the hole. Blake Perkins' error in the center field, that certainly played into that inning spiraling out of control in the seventh. But in the meantime, want to get to the phone lines. Brian waited through the break. Brian and Tosa, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Dom. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, positives. Wilson has been lights out since going in. I just hope, we don't overuse him and, he's ramping up, but let's not get another injury. But he's great. Sanchez did what they brought him in to do, hit a left-hander, hit a home run, gave us a chance to win. But our hitting, is just killing us. Three hits tonight. Did we even have a runner in scoring position? But yesterday, we 0 for 7? That's gonna be our undoing, and it's been our undoing for the last couple of years. I mean, our pitching has carried us, and Kansas City came in with, three guys hitting over 250, and they managed to get it done, and we didn't. So that's my concern, but it's still May. We still got plenty of time, but we got to work something out on the offense because it's going to end up shooting us in the foot when it's all said and done with.
Yeah, I agree entirely, Brian. Thanks for the call. When it comes to the Brewers' offense this year, Augie, they're actually a little bit better. I was looking back exactly May 6th last year was also game 33 for the Brewers a year ago. And a year ago, Rowdy Tellez was leading the team with 9 homers. Owen Miller was leading the team in batting average. Victor Caratini was second. So a lot can change once you get beyond May, if you get what I'm saying. But Bryce Wilson, let's go there. Bryce, wow, that was huge from him today. 6 strong shutout innings. 1 hit allowed, 3 walks, 2 of them in the first inning. He also struck out 6. Bryce Wilson now has back-to-back starts. He's got quality starts, and yet the Brewers are 0-2 in those games.
Yeah, he's been throwing the ball very well. I don't know if you remember, Dom, when he was back with the Pittsburgh Pirates, he actually started some games with Pittsburgh. And every time he'd pitch against the Brewers that I remember, I thought he threw the ball really well. He'd always start the game, get through those three and four innings and kind of lose it and make some bad mistakes. But it just seemed like now he's got himself together. The command that he has, he really locates his fastball. He elevates it when he needs to. He's got that good breaking ball and a good cutter. I think the cutter has come on where that's really been a really big pitch for him. He's done it really well. But after that leadoff single in the second inning, he retired 12 in a row. And even what I like most about the 12 in a row is really neat to get 12 in a row and get you into that sixth inning. But when he walked the two guys in the sixth inning, boy, you could just see him dialing into a better spot and being able to make that good pitch, inducing a double play ball, and then striking out Perez on that good fastball. So here's a guy who's really learned to put the things together to be educational-wise, to have a good resume and say what he wants to do to have a good sequence of pitches. I thought tonight he was fantastic. And each of the last two or three times out, he's been really good.
And let's go back to that Vinny Pasquantino double play, the 10-pitch at-bat. I mean, take me into the mindset of a pitcher there, Augie, because when you got a guy who's obviously a three-hitter, he's a great hitter in Pasquantino. He's got a knack for contact. He does not have a lot of swing and miss in his game. And obviously, Bryce's bread and butter is the cutter. But here he is. He keeps fouling off. He keeps fighting it off. It's one of those things that you both know that you know. That Bryce Wilson knows that Pasquantino knows he's going to throw a cutter. How do you still outsmart him in a 10-pitch battle to get the double play you needed?
Well, the sequence of pitches I thought Bryce used were excellent. He went right at him and everything and then really made some good pitches. But I think the one thing you have to do is when you go into deep counts, when you get into past that pitch number six and seven and eight, when you get up into those areas, it's about execution. And you really got to stay within yourself. And this is where I really thought that he took that step back and slowed the game down and executed his pitches. I thought all the pitches that he executed in that at bat was huge. He needed to do something pretty special. And then when he threw that good pitch and got a good double play ball, I just made some really good pitches. I think you have to credit him because he stayed within himself. He understood what his strengths were. He executed his game plan of what he wanted to do, and he located the pitch where he had to induce a double play off a very, very good hitter. And then to come back and after that and strike out Perez, I tell you what, a good fastball. He just reached back, got some extra. That's an area where a pitcher you see takes those next steps to become a good quality major league pitcher. And I tell you, Bryce did a great job tonight.
He was fantastic. I find it ironic that so in the 10 games now, there's only been 10 games so far, we're only a month plus into the season, a month and a week, that the Brewers have had the starter go at least six innings. There have only been 10 games. Tonight was the 10th. The Brewers are 8-2 in such games. The two are Bryce Wilson. He will get that ship righted. It's not his fault, obviously, because he can't do any better than what he did tonight. Six innings, no runs allowed. I do want to give a chance to start getting to some of these questions that I had, and we do have audio from Pat Murphy as well. And I just want to start with the Jared Koenig decision. The reason why he went to Jared Koenig was, A, number one, Brian Hudson was not available tonight. Remember, he threw a heavy workload on Saturday. They've worked him to the bone the last few days, so they wanted to give him two full days off. Number two, they felt they were worried about righties against Hobie. That's got to be something internal because the external stats we see with, yes, one home run allowed, but it hasn't been that bad of a year against Hobie for righties versus lefties. Obviously, he's in there mainly to get lefties, but righties coming into tonight only hitting 208, 5 for 24 against him with one home run. Yes, four walks, though, to be fair. Four walks in there, too. But he went with Jared Koenig, and again, like I said at the top of the program, Koenig did not execute. It's not on the manager to go tell a guy how to throw a ball. You got to put the full trust in the guys that you have. Maybe he would have used Hobie later, but you knew he had Peguero and McGill and Pyomps ready to go. And obviously, Peguero didn't pitch well with inherited runners. Again, that's now 7 of 9 inherited runners that have scored this year against Peguero. But at the end of the day, Murph gave his reasoning. He's sticking to it. Hudson wasn't available. Didn't like the matchup for the righties against Milner, and Koenig didn't execute. And I think that's the story of that seventh inning.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think when you look at Jared Koenig coming into the ballgame, he has really pitched very well. But you look at the bat against Macy when Macy hit the home run. That was a pitch, a break. It looked like a little bit of a high fastball, high breaking ball. then they got the middle plate, and Massey really put a good swing on it. Got that ball a little bit not in the position where he wanted. I think he wanted to get that ball either way in or way away, and when you do that, you execute it. And then right there, he just made a mistake, and Massey put a good swing on it, hit the home run. But even more than giving up the home run, hit the hit by pitch, I think he got a little bit frustrated. Next hitter tried to be a little bit too fine, induced a walk, and then all things broke loose right there when Peguero came in the ballgame. But, you know, you come in the game as a pitcher, the first thing you have to do is you got to throw strike one and you got to get the first out. One of the big things as a reliever, anytime I used to come in a ballgame, I wanted to get that first out. Settle things down, get that first out. And right there, I just thought maybe a little bit, Jared, just a little that time, just overthrew that first hitter to Massey. Massey got a pitch that he could handle and hit the ball at the ballpark.
And Hobie, I think the frustration for a lot of folks with this decision is we've seen Hobie, and Murph has seen Hobie pitch very well in his career as a Brewer. But the fact that he came in later in the inning, it's like, okay, well, he was available. So you chose Koenig over Milner, which is why the Brewers fans, I would imagine, are frustrated with this decision. But again, you make better pitches, and it's a better result. I think the walk to Frazier was the real one. You're like, oh, no, this did not work out, because obviously they went to Peguero there. But he had Frazier 0-2, ends up walking him. The next batter, Dairon Blanco, hits the ground ball to the left side that Willy Adames misplayed. It was ruled an infield single. Willie's got to get at least an out there. And he went into a slide. I don't want to say, oh, yeah, that's totally an error. It's not an error if you go into a slide, but I think Willy would tell you more times than not, he's going to make that play. And Willie holds himself to a high standard defensively, and, man, really bad time for both him and Perkins, some of your best defenders on the field, to both have misplays in the seventh inning that led to three-run scoring.
I agree. I think that was a tough play, and like you said, anytime you leave a feed, you go down, you try to make a great play like that. Willie is going to make that play nine times out of ten. But I think he'd also, and let's look at what with this Koenig and Hobie Milner. You know, I think one thing, Murph, we got to think here, Dom, is saying that, you know, Jerry Koenig has come into games earlier in the game. He hasn't come in a lot of times late in the ball game. That keeping him in that situation where you want to stay positive with him. And Hobie Milner's been a guy who's come in at any time, whether it's early in the game, late in the game. He knows how to come in that, get those late inning outs. And I think that might have been some of Murph's thinking right there, and you got to think about that also. But it's just, you got to execute. You come in the game, that first hitter is always the most important hitter. You got to get ahead with him. It didn't work out today, but these guys have all been throwing the ball well, and they'll bounce back.
Yep, we'll talk offense coming up next with Augie, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. This one from the 262. I wish I could point fingers and say we played a good game, but three hits and wasting a Bryce Wilson gem ain't going to do it. I don't think the umps got anything wrong, and they certainly didn't affect the final outcome. You know ball. I appreciate you from the 262. Thanks for texting in. We'll take a breather. Come back with more on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With the local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. You mentioned it earlier, Augie. I'm done. Segment. This is exactly what Gary Sanchez was brought here to do. Hit against lefties and hit homers. Well, he's got 11 hits this season, and 10 of them are for extra bases. So today, another home run for him. That was the fourth home run of the season for him this season. He's also got six doubles. I mean, he just continues to torch the baseball, and clearly the hamstring's feeling okay. And obviously he was behind the plate today, too, in order to do so. So love what we've seen from him so far this season.
Yeah, I like it. I'll tell you what, the pitch he hit for home run was not a bad pitch. I think one thing Reagan wanted to do is he wanted to get that ball in a little bit more. It was down. It had a little bit of too much plate. Sanchez went down, hit the ball at a ballpark, and a Brewer fan was able to catch him, got pretty excited out there in center field. But when you look at what he's done, he's a good hitter against left-hand pitching. That's what you want to do. You want to be able to have your team that's well-balanced and go out and hit either right-hand or left-hand. He's brought in at the perfect time. But it's, you know, anytime, Dom, you go out there and you have five base runners in a game, you know it's going to be low scoring, and you know when you get the hits and you get guys on base, you have to take advantage. And that's one thing that the Brewers weren't able to do. They weren't able to take advantage, unlike what Kansas City did in the seventh. They got some home run. They got a couple guys on base. What did they do? They took advantage of that situation. Bunching your hits, bunching your players on base, scoring a couple runs, and they were able to score the 3 runs and beat the Brewers.
And looking at it, 0-for-1 with a runner in scoring position today, and that's after the Jackson Churio double steal fail with William Contreras on second when Terang ended up flying out to center field. That was the only at-bat with the runner in scoring position today for the Brewers. That's never going to cut it. And you said it at the top as well. Tip your cap to Cole Ragans. That dude's on his way to superstardom. Tall left-hander, can throw 96, 98. Great changeup. The Brewers were totally fooled by the changeup today. But the lack of opportunities is what's really hurting the Brewers right now. They're just 2 for their last 17 with runners in scoring position. That's going back over the last 3 games. And even on Friday, they won the game, obviously, at Wrigley Field. They were 3 for 9. Just gives you an idea. 3 for 9 doesn't sound all that great, but then you realize that's 333. If you can get 9 opportunities, odds are you're finally going to break through, as they did in that game on Friday. We have not seen them get the big hit or even give themselves opportunities to get the big hit the last couple of games.
Yeah, you need that. I think one thing you look out through a season, we noticed that up from the last several years, is the ability to make things happen when you get on base. And, you know, we always talk about the ball club and getting guys on base. Today they only had 5 guys on base. But when you get at guys on base, just giving those good at-bats, moving runners over, getting them in, those are so important. We see the Brewers manufacturing runs a lot this year. They've been hitting home runs, but they've been manufacturing runs. It's so important. And I think when you get on base, that hitting with runners in scoring position is so important. Giving a good at-bat is even more important. Give a good at-bat, good things are going to happen. And the Brewers are struggling a little bit right there right now, but they're going to bounce back, and hopefully they'll start tomorrow.
And a good reminder here as well, on the text line here, another text from the 262. Yelich missing is still a problem. He extends the lineup so well, going 1 for 13 at the plate from your 1 through 4 hitters is not a good recipe for success. I agree entirely. But we did get some news today on Yelich. Christian actually hit on the field today during batting practice with the rest of the team today. We reported over the weekend that he had been running aggressively, hitting in the cage. Today was the first time that he hit on the field. And Pat Murphy said today before the game, if everything goes well tomorrow and he hits on the field again and his body bounced back, we could see him in the lineup on Wednesday, maybe Thursday, if everything is going well. But the fact that Christian Yelich's return seems to be imminent has to give this offense a lift.
Oh, there's no question. You know, there's the certain guys you get in a lineup, and you talk about the days of the Ryan Braun, Chris Buehler, and those type style guys. Back when I played, it was the Robin Yount and the Paul Molitors guys. Guys that make your offense move. They do the little things. They're the igniters in your offense. And I think that's what you have out of Christian Yelich. He does so much. He can hit for average. He can hit for power. He runs the bases so well. Those are the type of guys that can really demonstrate and do the things you have to do to have a good lineup. And definitely the Brewers do miss him, and I'm sure they can't wait to get him back. And when they do get him back, I think he's going to be a big part of this lineup.
I mean, he's got only 11 games under his belt this season, yet 5 homers, a double. And I also want to backtrack. I had the numbers wrong on Gary. He's got 7 extra base hits of his 11 hits this season. But for Yelly, this is a dude that obviously makes everything go. The Brewers have been a rotating door in the 3-hole since he went down with injury in that Baltimore series. And let's also be real. Yelly's not going to be the same Yelly that we saw in the beginning of April because he's coming back from the back. I mean, he's missed multiple weeks now. He is going to need time to get the batter's eye back and to get things moving in the right direction. And it's not going to be like you snap your fingers and boom, Christian Yelich of old that we saw before the injury is going to be right back here again. Give this dude some time, but his presence, I have to imagine, is going to help. But let's be patient with him.
Yeah, there's no question. I think when you see him in line, but you know, the one thing that's been so impressive, Dom, out of Christian Yelich just here is his approach, his patience at the plate, and how he's been able to hit the ball to all fields. Last year, he'd get that ball up and away from him. Sometimes he'd swing through it, or the breaking ball down and in would always give him problems. He's staying off of those pitches. He's got a better idea at the plate. He's being patient, slowing down the game, and I think that part, yeah, I think he's going to be able to keep. But like you said, Dom, anytime you sit out over a period of time, you got to give yourself a little bit of time to get back in the swing of things. And Christian's going to need some at-bats, and hopefully it'll be real soon.
I think it will be very soon indeed. This was a fun one, despite the loss. Always appreciate you coming on to talk about baseball with us here, Jerry Augustine of the Brewers. Augie, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Hopefully it won't be such an earlier start as well. But, hey, enjoy the evening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, we've got a great pitching matchup with Colin Ray and Seth Lugo tomorrow. The two guys are really throwing the ball real well. So we're going to have another good ball game. Hopefully the Brewers can put some guys on base, bunch those runners on base, score some runs, and get a big win.
If there's such thing as a crafty righty, that's what both of these guys are. Normally that's a crafty lefty type of thing, but this should be a fun one tomorrow, eh?
Well put, Dom. Well put. They are, and they've been throwing the ball very well. It's going to be a good ball game. Brewers got to get back in that winning mode and get back with it and things going positive for him. But tomorrow's going to be a good game. I can't wait to be with you tomorrow.
Got to get back on track. Jerry Augustine here on WTMJ. Take a breather. Come back. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, up next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers fall 3-2 to the Royals. Tough one. But I want to also thank one of our sponsors, Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Spring in Wisconsin means it's time for your annual AC tune-up. Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical has you covered. You can save $25 on AC preventative maintenance through the end of the month. Schedule an appointment today at Cider, SEIDER.com. I want to change up the order of the show a little bit today, given we've asked a lot of questions about Pat Murphy today. So let's just go ahead and play it on through. Let's hear what the manager had to say from his own words on today's loss to the Royals and all the questions that we had earlier. Here's Murph.
Absolutely. Wilson and Gary, you know, Gary did a great job handling them. And, you know, Wilson had some speed bumps there a few times where you're like, what? And especially that sixth inning. And that was huge, huge for our whole staff. And, you know, it's another good start for him.
Murph, how big was that double play? I mean, he needed 10 pitches on Pasquantino, six. But then he's able to get out of it after that. But that, it seemed like that was what turned it for him.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, it was. I was second-guessing myself for not putting Koenig in there right now, knowing that it could be a shortened game with the weather coming. And, Billy proved himself and got out of the sixth, and then unfortunately we give up the home run and a two-strike home run that non-executed pitch, and then they capitalized after that.
0-2 on the walk too, right? Is that a...
Yeah. I mean he's been great for us, but he's a rookie, and you know it's you know he's gonna have a night like that. He wasn't his best, but he did do some good things. So, happens.
Did you what did you like about Jared as opposed to maybe Hobie or Brian in that situation?
Brian wasn't available. Yeah, and Hobie's been better in different situations because of how effective the righties have been against him, and they were staggered there a little bit. So.
Two errors in the inning, Murph, too? Like, that's just uncharacteristic for Willie?
I mean, I don't think Willie's was an error. Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I think Willie's play was a really, really tough play. And he had to go a long way for the ball. So, I mean, that happens in the game. He kept it in front of him. And then the other ball was just hit where we weren't. And, scored a couple runs, but the ball in the outfield is, again, it's Perk's first time in this outfield, and letting that guy get to second base, but that happens. We've been so good defensively, especially that kid Perkins has been great, so that kind of stuff happens, but you got to get some runners in scoring position. Sanchez gave us a big lift. We did have some good at bats. The kid was really tough. A lot of credit to that kid. He threw the ball great. Salvi was great, riding him through it. Was really great, and so credit to him. I just felt like close ball game. Churio getting stolen out of there. Pitchers 1-7, 1-8 to the plate. Bang bang. I thought he was safe. But the call stands. Umpires are doing their best, so it's the way it happens. But
going back to Bryce a little bit, when you take into account his last two starts with what has been going on with your guys' pitching and injuries and everything, how crucial is that? You know, how much has he kind of stabilized things for you in the meantime?
Yeah, I mean, he has been, you know, like you can point to a few guys on our team, you know, that have been like that, you know what I mean? The Perkins type thing with Yelly out. And, you know, Bryce is the guy on the mound, Joe Ross on the mound, that have just stepped up big and able us to survive right now. But two real close calls at the end, you know, not questioning the umpires, I'm just saying two real close calls at the end changed the game. And yeah, but we got to do more. You know, we didn't hit with a runner in scoring position until that time. So.
The Churio play, it's like the initial call is everything, isn't it? Has that been your experience in the replay era?
Yeah, it is. It's everything. And as it looks from our people, are pretty certain that he never touched them before he touched the base. But, you know, we all understand the system. And we understand the risk. We've won games doing that kind of stuff, and you gotta be willing to take those gambles, you know. So, and we're going to continue to do that. So,
and you know what? Listening to Murph, he gives reasons. I'm going to be real for a second. When Pat Murphy, when I first sat down with him in spring training and got to know him and was in there in every single media session, I was surprised. I was surprised at how much I was learning and how open he was and how forthcoming he was with information. That's an indirect dig as I say it out loud to Craig Counsell. But again, I don't blame a manager for not wanting to be forthcoming with that sort of stuff to the media. Murph laid out his reasons. He said Hobie Milner didn't like the fact that there could have been a righty off the bench, and there's a righty coming in there as well. Did not like that matchup for him for what they see in that matchup. It goes so much deeper than what you and I see on Baseball Reference. I promise you that. The other thing, with Jackson Churio stealing third, 1-7-1-8. If you heard that, that means that's the time to the plate from the pitcher. The pitcher delivering to the plate. That's generally a time that you can steal on. So, yeah, give it a shot. Maybe not with a lefty on the at the plate, clear path for Salvi, but maybe in a different replay center, he's safe. But the call on the field stood as called that he was out. So he gave good reasons for those right there and didn't get to the Turang one, but that's like kind of a really deep stuff. So I heard from what Murph had to say about today's game. I appreciate him being forthcoming about it and handling the questions professionally, and it's no big deal. You're going to lose games in a 162-game season. But for a couple of folks that are asking, why didn't Tyler Black steal second base in the ninth inning? In the ninth, Stratton was like a 1-1-1-2 on my stopwatch. I was keeping track of that myself, and he was really quick to the plate, and that is not a good time to try to steal second base on. And it's what they do. They steal bases. That's, all right. Get more runners in scoring position. He said it. I've said it. Hoggy said it. Get more runners in scoring position. Good things can happen. Take a breather. Come back with more. We're going to the top of the hour on 620 WTMJ.
Now, more Brewers Extra Innings presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Fifth Third Bank, your local bank. Welcome back, Dom Catronio. Brewers fall 3-2. Just felt like you let one get away there. You really did. Just a chance to really make an impact against a team that you know is going to be in there throughout the season. They're going to be a contender in the AL Central. Good little litmus test. Just really would have been nice. But otherwise, when it comes to tomorrow's matchup, Seth Lugo, Colin Ray, joking with Augie, absolutely crafty righties is the way to go with this. 45 innings this year for Lugo. He's 5-1, a 1.60 ERA. 45 innings, only 31 strikeouts. He's walked 11. Lugo, his big deal this year is he's just staying off of the barrel. He's not necessarily getting more ground balls than usual or giving up more fly balls than usual. He's just letting guys get themselves out. He doesn't strike out the world, doesn't get ground balls. He just has a low average hard hit rate against him and keeps guys off balance. Kind of similar to the Brewers guy. with Colin Ray. You know, it's going to be a very similar matchup tomorrow. You may see some very uncomfortable swings, guys that are second-guessing themselves mid-swing. But there's a lot of blue on Seth Lugo's Baseball Savant page, and then you look at the numbers at the top, the pitching run value, fastball run value, you're like, oh, wow, that's pretty darn good. Fastball's been good. Doesn't throw hard, 92, 93, just like Ray. So we're going to see two pitchability guys certainly going tomorrow. Fifth Third Bank, local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years. Industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities. It's all going to help your business succeed. Commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank National Association, member FDIC. Highlights coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Cole Reagans against Bryce Wilson. Game one of a three-game set from Kansas City. Moved up a little bit due to impending inclement weather. Both pitchers started off pretty strong. Now, Wilson got out of a jam in the first, but kept the zero on the board, then really hit his groove in the first three innings. He only needed 46 pitches to get through the first three. Then in the top of the fourth inning, with still a 0-0 game, Willie Adames managed to single up the middle, and with two outs, Gary Sanchez, in the game, facing the lefty and behind the plate, was at the dish.
The 2-1 pitch. High drive, left field, back is Melendez, track, onto the wall, this is gone! Two-run home run, Gary Sanchez, and the Brewers strike first in Kansas City.
Josh Mauer's call here on WTMJ, 2-0 Brewers. Bryce Wilson took that lead and ran with it. He had a shutdown bottom of the fourth inning on just 9 pitches. He only needed 11 pitches in the fifth inning, but then finally faced some danger in the sixth. Third time through the order, he walked Michael Garcia. He walked Bobby Witt Jr. Then a 10-pitch battle ensued with Vinny Pasquantino. This round went to Bryce.
3-2. Ground ball to second base. Big hop for Ortiz. Flips to second for one. Adames to first in time. It's a 4-6-3 double play.
10 pitches later, huge to get past Quintino, but not out of the woods yet. Salvador Perez, one of the best hitters in the league this year, with a man on third and two outs.
0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. The Royals threatened, but Bryce Wilson got tough. A double play and a strikeout of the veteran Salvi Perez, and we're on to the seventh.
You would think with the Brewers' bullpen, things would go great. Unfortunately, they would not. In the bottom of the seventh, Jared Koenig allowed a leadoff homer to Michael Massey. Then with one out, a hit batter to Nelson Velasquez. A walk to Adam Frazier. Piguero came in and the wheels fell off. An infield single, a two-run single, an EA, a walk, and a double play, and you blink, and it's 3-2. Which was our final score today. As the Royals defeat the Brewers in Game 1 of the series, Bryce Wilson, a quality start, but a tough luck, no decision. We'll wrap up the show. Preview tomorrow up next on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, we're not expecting the game time to change tomorrow after it did today. We'll be on the air at 6 o'clock with the On Deck show. I've got you after the game as well for Brewers Extra Innings, a 6:40 first pitch from Kauffman Stadium. Then on Wednesday, we'll be on the air at 12:30 for a 1:10 first pitch for the finale of this road trip. No post-game show on Wednesday, but then we'll be back all weekend long, a 4-game set with the Cardinals, and we've got 4 post-game shows coming up for you against the Redbirds. Thursday, we will be playing at 6:40. Friday at 7:10, Saturday at 6:10, and Sunday at 1:10. So 4 different game times in a single weekend. Can we standardize this, please? This should be 3 game times and 3 game times only. 7, 6, and 1. Nothing else. I digress. I get it. I'm not going to complain that much, but it's a little weird to keep track of sometimes. But tomorrow, nonetheless, we're on the air at 6:05, 6:40. First pitch here on WTMJ. Colin Ray against Seth Lugo. Like we said, pair of righties are going to have some fun with it. And maybe, just maybe, we might see Robert Gasser by the end of the week. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. We got distracted today. My thanks to Matt Yazel, our producer. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers fall 3-2. Back with more tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.